Hello and welcome to episode 12, should be 13, episode 12 Life in Hex. I'm Gelada.
And I'm Sephron.
And we're feeling kind of guilty.
Just a bit. Just sorry.
Because it's been a month since we've been sitting in here. Okay,
well,
a month.
It was a month since Shimara was sitting in here with us during a recording.
That seems like ages away. Ages ago, doesn't it?
I know.
Like, whoa.
Sometimes the shows feel like they were like 2 days ago.
And sometimes they feel
like, oh my God, we did a show like last time?
But yeah, so we didn't do a show where we should have done a show because we had the LAN.
Because we had Life in Hex LAN.
Which we'll be mentioning. So. Which brings us nicely on to what we're going to do is kind of like making up as our way of saying sorry for the fact that we missed a show. We're going to have some extras after this. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a normal show with some normal stuff, some good stuff. We've got some good stuff coming up. You've got some anime stuff.
Yep.
I've got my Elder Scrolls Oblivion first review.
I've got some of the gaming stuff we can talk about.
Mm-hmm. And
I've got
some programming talk and that sort of thing. So it's all good. So we've got a good show. But then we're also going to have some extras where we talk about stuff like we're going to talk about the LAN and I'm going to talk about get my raid server and all this sort of thing. But that won't be on the RSS feed. So if you're listening to this on the podcast or you're listening to this on DDP Hack Radio, you won't hear the extras. And that's to stop DDP Hack Radio from getting screwed from like, where, why are there two episodes?
Yeah, it will completely mess up their system.
So what we're doing is we'll make them available to download on the site, which is why we're recording this early, because we're recording this on Thursday, which is nearly a week ahead of when it actually gets released.
Yes.
And that's so that I have plenty of time to edit, because this is going to be like a show and a half.
Yeah, exactly.
The extras are just going to be like informal bit of sort of laid back chatting about stuff.
Yeah.
You know, not a serious show with structure or anything, so.
So, you know, I mean, it's just our way of saying sorry, really, because, I mean, we were going to do a show.
Mm-hmm.
We were already.
We were going to hit that button.
We set all the mics up. We set all the connections up. We set everything up. And everyone at the LAN was ready to do a show with us. But then I said to you,
this is going to be the crappiest
sounding. Is there any point in doing this? It's going to sound crap. We're not ready for it. You know, we're all tired as it is. This is going to sound crap. What's the point? You know,
exactly.
You agreed with me. So.
Yeah, because we were using Skype with like headsets, and my headset's very sensitive, so it was picking up echo. And
yeah, it would have sounded bad. It would have been a bad content, in my opinion, because you'd have the others, you know, chiming in. And
we'd be playing Far Cry.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the others wouldn't have made a good show. But obviously, because they don't do the podcast regularly, they don't.
Yeah.
They're not really whole,
so
you
would,
know
but,
what they're doing.
You know, it was all right last time when we just did that brief sort of 20-minute thing. Where
yeah, but because that was a special that we released that people could just download.
But
it wasn't actually on the RSS.
That would have actually been a show. So we think we hope that you understand why we didn't do a show, and that we're ready and eager now to do a show. And
yes, yes, yes.
So first of all, we got a quick email. I won't read it out because it was very short, but we got an email from someone called Alexander in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
South Africa.
I know.
I was quite shocked. You know, we got a listener in South Africa. Obviously, no reason why not, because we're worldwide, but, you know, it was just good to know that we're not just UK and US or something
like
that.
Yes, it's nice to know that we're
international.
Yes, in other continents other than just America.
But he commented to just say that the link for episode 11 wasn't working. It was still linking to episode 10, the low-quality version.
Yeah.
And so I fixed that. Thank you very much, Alexander, for pointing that out. I do often make these mistakes, so please do email me if they're not on purpose. They're not like intentional mistakes, to see if you spot them.
So plugs to you.
Yes. Life?
It's our lifetime.
It's our lifetime. It's our section.
We've been on holiday from college the past 2 weeks.
Easter?
It's been the Easter holidays. Do they have Easter holidays over in like America?
Well, they have Good Friday in that, so
I guess so. Yeah.
Who is it that don't celebrate Good Friday? Like the French don't celebrate Good Friday? No, can't be the French. Yeah, the French don't have Good Friday off.
Mm.
Do you know we have Good Friday? Like people have Good Friday.
Yeah,
off. We don't. The French don't.
We basically have a whole bank holiday weekend.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah, because we've been off college for the past 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. We've been nearly 2 weeks now, and we've just been relaxing. We're doing some
sleeping and gaming.
Yeah,
actually there's not been a lot of sleep. There's actually been quite a lot of gaming.
Yeah, for you. I've done nothing.
Mm.
I haven't done anything. I hate having such a crap computer. I can't like play games with you lot, you know.
Go and steal Jonas.
Oh yeah, so it's been the holidays, and so we've been doing some stuff, you know. We've been relaxing, we've been sleeping and catching up on sleep, and you know, everything. We've been doing a bit of gaming. Well, you have.
It's the holidays and it's been good. We sort of celebrated that with the LAN.
Well, yeah, we started all the holidays with the LAN because we said that it would be a good idea to get the LAN out of the way so that we could have the whole holiday to recover. It didn't take us that long to recover, to be honest.
No.
It took 2 days.
I just felt that now I seem to be sleeping late because of that. Like, that just completely chucked my body clock out of whack.
Yeah,
so I've
same.
I've been gaming
so.
Until like 3 o'clock and that, so don't tell my mum.
Who knows?
I finished the online shop that I've been doing. How long has that been? That's like...
Well, you mentioned it a good couple of shows ago.
Did I mention it on the first show?
Not that far ago, okay. But I know what you're saying about it. It's been a long time since you started it. But it's not your fault that it took so long.
No, it's not. But it's finished, and that's the important thing. I don't care anymore.
Finally done.
It's gone.
So you got your raid.
Yes, I did. Which more on that in the extras.
Yes. So if you want to find out about Gelada's new raid server, listen to the extras.
To be raid server.
We'll get onto that.
Yeah.
We'll get onto that.
Indeed.
So that's basically our live section. We haven't really done it a lot. It's just been the holidays. We've just been relaxing, doing some cool stuff.
Yeah.
The usual.
Yes.
Okay, on to our anime section. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All good.
It's all good. Hope so.
Just some news quickly. As people probably would have guessed, you know, if they listen to the anime section and they follow, you know, what I report on, they probably have guessed right by now that I'm quite a big fan of Bleach, the anime Bleach.
You are?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that would explain it.
Just making sure people know.
Good.
But yeah, some news on Bleach. But as I mentioned a couple of shows ago, I said Bleach was being licensed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's finally been confirmed. Well, not finally been confirmed, but it's been confirmed that it's going to be aired on the Adult Swim channel, which is a anime dedicated anime channel in America, which is more for like the more grown-up anime.
Mm-hmm.
So there won't be as much dubbing and cutting out of the violent bits, which
mm-hmm.
is good.
Mm-hmm.
It means that they don't get the butcher the show as much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been narrowed down to about September.
Right.
So this September, you should mm-hmm. see Bleach on American TV.
Cool.
Not that it makes any difference to me, of course, but still.
Mm. So is that linked to... Oh, yeah, it is linked. Yeah, I was listening. I just put that together in my brain, and now it all makes sense. It's all adding up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Other little bit of news. Again, this is another thing I mentioned in last show, I think. I think Yamara probably even mentioned it.
Yes, he did.
Dot Hat Roots.
Mm-hmm.
When we mentioned it, I said that it was going to be released soon. But yep. It has now been aired in Japan. The first, I think, two episodes have been aired now.
Right. Any good?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Cool.
I wouldn't know, of course.
No, of course
I
not.
I mean, I've not seen it at all, no. Because I haven't downloaded the sub version,
yeah,
of course.
But what you mean is that, you know, you've read some stuff on the web and they said...
Yeah, but it's like, it seems really cool.
The views of Gelada and Sephiroth. I love the views of Gelada and Sephiroth.
The animation quality is actually really nice. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the other Dot Hack anime in the past have always been really good.
Mm.
But see, what I've tended to notice in more modern day anime is that it's following a kind of similar trend, and it's what I call modern day anime theme. I mean, I know that doesn't sound very inventive, but whatever. Mm. If you look at like two different anime that have been made recently, you would swear to God that they've been made by the same person because they look identical.
Yeah.
The anime style is identical, the colouring style.
I know what you mean, yeah.
But Dot Hat, because it's like a big series and because it's like such a popular one, they've put a lot of effort into it and they really made the animation look really nice. It's a really good blend of CG and, you know, original drawings, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Although majority of it is CG now.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still some really nice detail in them, which makes the anime look really, really nice. It's
cool.
Done really well. Don't really know much about the story yet, since only like one or two episodes have gone by.
Right.
But it's set after almost all the other Dot Hack franchises, so to speak. It's set in the world R2, because the world itself, which is the world, is the game.
The game thing.
The game is called The World.
Mm-hmm.
But it got destroyed because all the servers that was running it burnt down or something. Mm-hmm. Which is...
It won't happen with mine. I've got a UPS.
So anyway, it's set after all the other franchises.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit different to all the other Dot Hack franchises. So it's got like different classes, different races, different... pretty much everything, but it looks really good. It looks really interesting. And if you're a Dot Hack fan, definitely something
to
check out.
Then you've probably already checked it out.
Well, if you're a Dot Hack fan who knows how to get things off the internet, you know, subbing off the internet, then you most likely have already got it.
Or you live in Japan.
Or you live in Japan, etc. But if you're a Dot Hack fan, definitely something to check out.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a big release, which is really good.
Cool.
So check it out.
Cool.
Anyway, on to the main little section. That's a oxymoron.
Mm-hmm.
Of the anime section.
Mm-hmm.
Review time. We should have like a little music skit.
Well, we'll work on that.
We'll work on that. Talking shit again.
Yes, digressing.
Going to do a review on a manga series called Death Note.
Right.
Now, it's one that's not known as well, because, I mean, all the reviews I've been done in the past have been not well known, but most of them have been known by most people. If you're an anime fan, you know them, like Trigun and Tenchi
mm-hmm.
and Bleach, etc. You know, all that kind of stuff I've done. People know of.
Death Note,
although it is popular, it's probably less known because it's kind of like a smaller series.
Mm-hmm.
It's an SJ.
Right.
Again, it's a Shonen Jump.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a weird genre. I'm not really sure how you say it. It's like a supernatural mystery detective thing. It's like it's a combination of you know, like in detective, you get detective like books and everything where it's like all weird plot twists and it merely makes your mind think, you've got to try and work out where everything's going and everything. It's a cross between that and like religion, superstition, etc. It's actually really well done. The writer is Tsugumi Ueba, or Ueba, I'm not quite sure how you pronounce it.
Ueba. Yes.
And basically, the basic plots, without giving away any spoilers, of course,
Of course.
is it's the two main characters are a guy called Light Yagami and L. Yes, that is his name.
L.
L.
Right.
One day, this guy called Light comes across a notebook. And on the front of it, is the Death Note. It says Death Note on the front of it. And he finds out, because there's instructions written on it, and he gets his own Shinigami, which is God of Death. A bit
Right.
like the Dark Reaper, but they like kind of look like a fallen angels almost. You know how the Dark Reaper's like doesn't have wings and all that?
Yeah.
A Shinigami's like has wings and is like a bit like the devil angel. But he finds his Death Note, and basically what the Death Note allows him to do is if he writes someone's name in it and knows the face of that person, they will die. He can kill them,
It's quite cool.
right? If you write someone's name in there and you know the face of them, and then 40 seconds later, you would die. If I then wrote after that, within the 40 seconds, how you die, you will die that way. Because if I only write your name, you'll die of a heart attack.
Right.
If I write how you die, you will die in that way. And then after that, I can actually control within 22 days of what you do.
Right.
So 22 days before you die, I control what you do. I can write out what you do. So I can say, you go to the bathroom, you wash your face, and then you decide to slit your wrist with a razor.
Right.
I could do that. You know, well, I can. If I had the Death Note, I could.
Yeah.
So he has this power, basically, to kill. He can kill anybody. So he takes it upon himself to become God. He takes someone to be like Judgment Day. So he decides who lives and who dies.
Right.
Now, admittedly, at first, he's actually supposed to be a good character. He's trying to make the world a better place by killing criminals and helping people out, you know. Like hostage situations, he kills one of the hostage taker. So the hostage situation is defused and no one's hurt apart from the hostage person who'd probably be killed anyway. Problem is, though, of course, this leads to a moral dilemma that you don't kill people no matter what their crimes are.
Yeah.
So then the police and everything get on the ball, and that's when this guy called L comes in. Now, L is a super sleuth detective. He's like the best detective in the world. He's a bit of an oddball, but he never actually reveals his real name.
Right.
Because if he revealed his real name,
Then the guy would kill him.
exactly, because he's seen his face,
Yeah.
but he just doesn't know his real name.
Yeah. Sneaky.
So he does. So he goes by the name L, and at first he only exists behind a laptop screen because no, he doesn't even show people his face. But then later on in the series, she starts to see his face. She starts to get to know him a bit better. And it's all about basically these two like kind of fighting out battle of the wits, so to speak. You know, see who's smarter, see who can outwit each other. And then later on, you get some other plot twists and other characters come in and everything. But it's a really good idea. It's a
Cool.
really cool idea. It's like not something I've seen very often, but it's really clever in how it's done. And in my opinion, I think it's actually really. It's. You know how in most SJ stuff, it's kind of like the usual SJ shunen stuff, where you've got shunin stuff, rather.
Shunin, as in Ninny.
Yes! That email will haunt us forever.
Yes.
It's. You know how you get the usual archetypes? You get, like, the main hero, the badass guy, the really good looking girl, etc. You get all those archetypes. And this is totally different. It's not like that at all. So it's very different. And it's definitely a nice plot, not plot twist. It's definitely a nice. What's the word I'm looking for? Something different. I've used that word too many times.
Alternative.
Yes, it's a nice alternative. Definitely something to check out if you're into more hardcore stuff, I'd say. It's less kiddie, it's less friendly,
Yeah.
but it's more personal,
The
everything.
clue is in the piece of paper that you can write on to kill people, yeah.
Exactly. So it's a bit dark and foreboding, but it's really good. Anyone who's not really into superstition or religion should also stay away from it. You know, they don't want to freak them out or whatever. If they don't want it, stay away. But in my opinion, great manga series. Definitely something to check out if you want it. Very good. Has its problems. Does have some problems, but it's really good. It's a really good series, and I'm glad I read it.
Cool.
Thanks, Pac-Man, for suggesting it to me.
Yes, thank you, Pac-Man.
Yes, as usual.
Yes.
Anyway, that about ends our anime section.
It does.
Have you got anything anime to talk about?
Well, there wasn't. Nah, there's nothing. It's all good.
So yeah, I mean, hope you. It's a good manga series, Death Note. Check it out. So, right, before we go on to our gaming section, we're going to have some music.
We are.
Now, our music this week is by a band called the Codwater Band.
No, no, dude. How many times? It's the Cool Water Band. I know it looks like cod, kind of. Well, not really, but it's Cool
you
Water.
You sure?
Band. Yeah, it's Cool Water.
It says cod.
No, no, Cool Water Band.
Okay.
So it's by the Cool Water Band, and it's called Do What You Need.
Do what you need.
And we'll get you back after this for some gaming.
Yes.
Everything feels right, then it just might take one step closer, hit you in the face. Keep you displaced. I'm a sinner, I'm a devil, but tell me what goes on when your curtains are closed. There's a hole in my head, there's a hole in my head, gonna let everything through, and you take it from me, it's been done before, got more in store, what they told me to do.
Welcome back. We hope you enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was a good song, guys. I think I think we both agree that it starts off quite slow.
It takes a while.
Once it kicks in, it's quite a good song.
It's a good song. So, onto the gaming.
So, plugs to them.
Yes, plugs
and onto
to
the gaming.
Cool Water Band.
We'll plug them in. They're on the site if you want to check them out.
So, moving on to the gaming section.
Yes.
And this is very you. Yes, well, this is sort of built up, and I'm finally going to do my first review because I'm hoping to do sort of like multiple, like how I'm getting on and stuff, and like any other things. Because the problem is it's such a big game. Right, Elder Scrolls Oblivion first, did I mention that?
No, you didn't, but they probably guessed.
Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion. Fourth in the Elder Scrolls series.
Yes. Wow. I wouldn't have thought that.
No, you wouldn't. There's so many. It's such a big game, And there's so many little things, and there's so many little things you spot. And I kept thinking, oh, I must mention that when I do my review. And I've just, I can't remember any of them.
Maybe we could do something similar to like what the other podcast doing, like doing Oblivion talk.
Yeah.
It's like once in every episode, we just like
just discuss
mention Oblivion
doing and
or something.
Stuff,
yeah, exactly.
So I'm just going to go through and go through as much as I can in as little space that I can to try and squeeze everything in. So first of all, just sort of going through a general sort of review outline, the presentation is really good. I think the menus are really clear, and the font, they seem to choose it. It's very crisp. You know, if you compare it to something like Morrowind, the font they used in Morrowind was a serif font, and it was very small. You couldn't read it very well, but this is really, really clear, and there's good use of icons to actually allow you to identify things. The only thing is that it doesn't really fit a lot of icons. It doesn't fit a lot of items onto the screen. So when you've got, like, for instance, I'm an alchemist.
Yes.
So I've got millions and millions of ingredients. To get down to the bottom, where, like, there might be some scrolls or whatever, I have to scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll for ages, or click the tiny little scroll bar and move it down.
Which is a problem, because it takes too long to find what you need.
Exactly. But there are mods you can get, of course, and one of the... I would recommend BT mod, because that completely... I'll show you later. The map is now, like, the entire screen when you scroll around the map. It changes all the icon, all the item things are really small now, like, you know, the smallest that they can be.
So you don't have to, you can
what
see
I want to know
screen.
Is why didn't they do that in the first place?
Yeah, why do you need a massive icon?
I don't know.
Each item.
But you know. But it's really good, and the font that they use is great, as I've said. But yeah, that is the only problem with it, is that you know, it is clear, but there are, you know, a few problems with that sort of thing. Also, it's not very colourful. The menus in that aren't colourful.
Oh, they're all the same colour. They're all the kind of like the grey cream.
Well, the map is sort of like a creamy, like you say, a grey creamy colour. And someone modded that to give it colour.
Mm.
And it looks... You're like, whoa, this looks brilliant.
So they actually like painted it like green and blue.
And blue, and but it's really nice. And again, another thing that Bethesda should have done that they didn't do. But
have to remember, though, Bethesda did do a lot.
It's a huge game for like 100 people or however many people there are
exactly,
in their company. So.
Exactly. So,
that's what I'm saying, that there are these minor niggles. The graphics are obviously amazingly, amazingly amazing.
This is the new benchmark.
It really is.
Like... Last year before, the benchmark was Half-Life 2.
Yeah.
And the new benchmark is now Oblivion.
As far as RPGs, you used to have like Neverwinter Nights. That was a bit of a
Neverwinter
benchmark.
Neverwinter Nights, Morrowind, obviously.
Yeah.
But
there aren't many graphical bugs as there were in Morrowind, because I played a bit of Morrowind and noticed there were a lot of graphical bugs in the game, like glitches and things. There's less of that, although I have had people stuck inside rocks. But other than that, obviously... The graphics are just stunning. I mean, you step out of those sewers and you're like, whoa,
it's
trees.
Well, like the opening movie.
Yeah.
You know, where all that sound comes in.
It's just amazing.
You get to look on like the whole valley area of where this Imperial City is and you're like, wow.
That's really
impressive.
You know, you're going through the forests and there's trees and bushes and there's deer running around and you get your bow out and kill the deer for the venison because you can make feather potions from them, really handy. If anyone ever needs to know, feather potions, venison, and something else that makes feather potions.
Oh, yeah, that's useful.
Yeah, I don't know what the other one is, but there's loads of other things, but venison, very useful. And even the dungeons are really nice as well. They're a bit samey as far as
they're
the textures.
Yeah, they're all very similar. I've noticed.
You know, even the layout's quite similar, but...
Overworld.
They look nice, you know, and the lighting effects is really good.
Yeah.
They've done really well on the sort of haze and dust and that sort of thing. I would say the character models... they're all right. And the lip syncing is brilliant, but the models don't look quite right. The human models just don't look very realistic. The faces don't look realistic.
Maybe it's because the game is so good in terms of its graphics. You expect too much of it.
Mm.
I mean, you look at some other games that have human character models. They'll be like all blocky and stuff. These are probably the best we'll ever see so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think Half-Life 2 was the best faces I've ever seen.
Faces?
Yeah, for faces. I mean, that really was...
Well, look at Half-Life 2 Lost Coast, though. That was amazing for
yeah,
faces.
Exactly. So, but... I think... But it's good, anyway. For such a huge game, again, back to that, you know, it's really good.
It's nothing that brings the enjoyment level down.
No, exactly. The trees... I have to focus a bit on the forest and stuff because I was really hyped about being able to walk through forests and it's great. The trees use a variant of the speed tree technology, which you can go and, if you Google speed tree, you can go and have a look at that, see some demos of that. And the forests are, you know, they're very open and expansive and you can just walk and walk and walk and walk and just keep on. You can go, I'm going to go that way and just walk.
Well, you did, if you remember, when you first started, you went up at the top of that mountain.
I was like, because when Dazarus came over, he said, like, go up to the top of that mountain. What, that mountain over there? Yeah, all right. And we walked
and
up.
And you
the
did, you just walked up there.
And look out across the whole of the city, Cyrodiil and everything, yeah. But also, they fully animate with the weather. Really cool. Hang on. There's a lot of pop-up in the game, though. There's a lot of pop-up glitches and fading, and when you're loading, a lot of stuff is popping up, and you can see the textures changing from the low-res textures to the high-res textures. But again, that really doesn't actually detract from the game. You don't suddenly go, oh, that pop-up just there has spoiled the game for me. You know, it doesn't feel like that, you know, because you're just so concentrating on going, wow, that you don't see that this stuff's popping up.
Well, you're either concentrating on going, wow, this game looks awesome.
There's a Frost Atronach!
Or you're too busy doing what you're doing and you don't notice these things.
You know, so it's very immersive.
I mean, we both mentioned, really, when I was playing, you mentioned this to me and I agreed with you. Sometimes, you know when like you're going along the overworld and it'll say loading, right? If it didn't say that, we wouldn't notice it.
Yeah, you wouldn't actually notice that it's loading. You know,
it's unless you're looking for it, it's almost unnoticeable.
Yeah. The third person view is very poorly done.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost as if they're saying, don't go in third person. Yeah. Use first person, which is fine. First person's fine.
First person's better. It's much better.
It's just the fact, you know, they might as well have not had it for all the difference it makes.
Well, I think it kind of spoils the character movement. I mean, look at the way your characters move, especially when they're straight.
The only time it's good is if you're actually sneaking, because you can sneak in the shadows, because the shadows affect how much you sneak, how good you are at sneaking. So you can go into third person then and sort of sneak around and creep around. So that's really good. The music is really, really good. I mean, great orchestral themes. I've actually been whistling them as I'm walking around. You know, even though they're just background orchestral themes, I just find myself randomly whistling bits of it. But it does get repetitive. There isn't a huge amount of score.
We'll do in any game, really.
Yeah, but there really is a small amount of score. You know, it's the same wherever you are in the overworld. The score is the same. Yeah. You know, whereas in other RPGs, you'd have different music for different places.
Yeah.
It's pretty much all the same. I have a problem with the sound effects. They sometimes cut out. Like, suddenly my sword won't make any noise when I sway it. That's and weird. I have to change weapon, and then it will cut back in again.
Strange.
And interestingly, I would have thought it was just a little bug. Yeah. But actually, because the sound, the effects are really good, I actually find I do worse if I can't hear that my spells are like making a sound or whatever, or they're hitting. I can't actually hear them hit.
Yeah.
So that kind of detracts from it, but that might just be me. Don't know. As far as gameplay, I mean, the game is huge. It's really huge.
Well, it's the main point of the game, isn't it?
You could spend a very long time walking from one end to the other. I haven't actually done it yet.
One side of the map to the other.
I must try. I must go riding from one side to the other.
Try walking. Running.
That's really slow.
Walking.
Oh, God, that would be like hours. But yeah, as we said, like Dazarus and the mountain, it's like points at that mountain.
It's all possible. Like, if you want to go there, you can go it. And it's like constant. It's continuous. Mm.
I've reached the edge once, and that was only because I actually had to go to the edge for like a cave or something, and so it said you cannot go further this way. And I was like, your point is
I've had that
just
once. I've had that actually once before myself. I was like walking up a hill or something. It said you cannot go further. So
you just turn around and go back the other way.
Exactly.
It's a big deal. So the game's so big, why do you want to go beyond the edge? The forests sometimes do feel empty in that you can keep walking and the only thing you see are like a few beasts. You don't see any dungeons or anything.
Yeah.
But then sometimes you're walking along and you see like five dungeons as you're walking along. So that's understandable. You know, they can't fill the map with everything, otherwise it seemed too crowded.
Yeah.
But you do randomly run across settlements, which is quite cool. You know, you randomly, oh look, there's an inn, like in the middle of a forest or something.
Which would be true, you know. Yeah. I mean, they wouldn't just be confined to the main towns of the game. There would be little like villages and things. Mm. It's like that, I remember you doing that quest about the invisibility.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like that tiny little village, which was like two houses, which had been affected. So that's really cool.
I have free sleep there now at the inn.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's all good. The dungeons are really good in the sense that the way they play. I did have a bit of trouble, well, not a bit of trouble, a bit of fuss at the first, because the first dungeon I went in had no bosses, and you had no real way of determining that you'd reached anything.
Was that the same dungeon I started on?
It's the very first dungeon when you go straight across
yeah,
the water.
I was doing it, and I got to this point, and it just led me back outside. I was like, is this it? Where, you know, I didn't get any big item, I didn't fight any big
The later dungeons are a lot more obvious. You start fighting, like, you fight some weak things, and then all of a sudden you've got, like, three necromancers and a chest that's locked, and you open it, and you've got, like, three major things, and you're like, wow, that's really cool. Mm. And you know then that it's the end. But they also split off a lot. They branch off into separate areas.
Yeah.
So you don't really know. I mean, the only way to tell is to keep looking at the map. And eventually you see, right, I've gone through the whole dungeon. You can always go back, because everything respawns.
Yeah,
eventually.
Everything's different. And it's all... Which also leads us on to the other point of the whole leveling things.
Yeah. It's a very controversial... This is the most problem people have with the game. I don't personally. I think it's great.
It's a really good feature, but at the same time, it has some problems.
Yeah. If you go onto the web, you can find lots of mods to change it, to mod it out completely. You can completely remove the auto-leveling. But what it is basically... the higher the level you get, the higher level the monsters are.
Everywhere.
And you still encounter some of the weak ones. You still encounter mud crabs at the water. But, you know, I encounter wisps randomly as I'm wandering around. I never used to get that. I used to just get wolves and things.
I mean, okay, a good example of it, the monsters actually level up. Like, you did that quest I started off with. I did that fish quest.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, I had to kill those, these.
You were like level two.
Level one or two, and I was having to kill these slaughter fish in the.
And it was hard for you to kill them.
It was pretty difficult. So I was like slashing away at them, I was like punching away at them, mm-hmm. etc. And then I said, oh, I got a ring of breathing. You know, so I can breathe whenever I wanted.
Yeah,
it was
a ring of, I forgot what it's called, like Remnus.
Runmer,
that's it. Yeah,
which is the lake. Mm-hmm. And you said, right, I'll go and do that, and you did it, and the fish were just as hard, even though you were like level 15.
Yeah. I think personally it means that there's no point where it's really easy. Like, you're just wandering through a dungeon and you're just owning everything. It's like, well, what's the point
in playing?
And you also get, and then you get really low loot, but then that also means that the loot is good everywhere, including, and this is one of the big fuss, like the bandits. You'll have I have bandits now with like dwarven and glass armor.
Yeah,
when they had leather armor, what bandit would have dwarven armor?
Which is a problem.
Yeah, but then it's like, does it matter? It means that it's always a challenge for me, you know. So that's good for me, but it's very controversial, and it is a challenging game. It's not easy, you know. You die a lot trying to kill things, but if you don't like that, you can change the difficulty. Yeah. There's a slider, and it's like a huge slider, not a little slider. You can make it really, really hard, really, really easy, and that changes the auto leveling.
Yeah.
So I don't like a game where it's so hard that like I'm having to really struggle. Oblivion, for me, the default difficulty is very enjoyable. It's nice and relaxed. You can go
through. But at the same time, it's tough. It's a
tough
nice
to go
challenge.
Through some of the quests, and some of the quests you think, no way, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. You mean, there's no point in playing a game which is like, oh, well, I'm just going to sit here, click the mouse, and I'm doing it without actually any trouble at all.
Exactly.
There's no point in playing. But at the same time, there's no point in playing a game which you simply cannot do because it's too difficult.
The quests are good, and they always have a little twist. There's not like just a simple quest. Go and collect this. Go and collect this item from this person. You know, you go there and then he says, well, actually, blah, blah, blah. You know, and then you go off and do that. Well, actually, blah, blah, blah. And it leads you on. And before you know it, like, you've got onto quite a major quest all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know, like, it all started with me just talking, asking that person about rumours.
Yeah.
And you're now on a big quest.
Exactly.
And then I found, I did a quest for someone. It was like, I had to rid a place of, got from ogres. And then, first of all, it was, there was this brother and he was drunk. And he was like, everyone keeps coming up to me and saying, didn't I see you in Chaidenal? And this is like the other side of the map. And so he's like, go over to Chaidenal and find this person who's trying to be an imposter for me. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. So you go over there to Chaidenal and you find this guy and he's like, and he looks exactly the same and he's got the same surname. They're actually twin brothers,
right?
But they don't know it. So you're like, wow. So anyway, he goes back off to his brother and he's like, yeah, thank you so much. So you go over there and they say, and you ask them about their past, like where they were brought up and stuff, and they tell you that they were brought up in a place called Weatherly, but that's been taken over by ogres, and so they were forced out. So it's like, oh, will you go and rid the place of ogres so we can finally move back to our home? Yeah, okay. So you go over there, rid the place of ogres.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, and then, so that's all good, and you're like, right, that quest's done, quest completed.
So
you've done two quests, and that's all done. Later on down the line, I haven't actually done it yet, but I overheard some NPCs talking about these two people who have moved to Weatherly and they've got some problems or something, so I could probably go over there and there'd probably be a new quest there for me,
a la the Radiant AI.
Yeah, exactly. So that's really good.
That's very, what other game can you say has that kind of depth in its characters and its NPCs?
Another example, I did a Fighter's Guild quest,
mm-hmm.
Which was just to rid a cave of vampires, and I went in there and we lost, there were three of us or four of us, and we lost one of them. One of the people died.
Mm-hmm.
The Fighters Guild leader was kind of a bit upset that I'd lost one of their people, but gave me the money anyway, and I thought, nothing of it, you know, like, one person died, no big deal. It was his fault. He was right in front of me. I couldn't defend him. That's one of the problems.
Yeah, we'll come on to that. It was the cad joke about that,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah. And I'm walking around, like, a couple of game time days later, and there's, like, people discussing around me, did you hear that the Fighters Guild lost one of their members in a battle in a cave? And I was like, whoa, they know that I lost. Oh, I'm going to walk that way now, feeling a lot more guilty about losing this person.
Yeah.
So the next time I did a guild quest for the Fighters Guild and there was a guy with me, I just said, stay there at the entrance of the cave and did it all by myself.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to lose him, because then I wouldn't get paid and they'd whinge at me.
Seems pointless in sending a person along with you, but I know what you're trying to get at.
Yeah, well, it was an easy quest anyway, so. But yeah, bringing that onto that is that the Radiant AI is good.
Interesting.
It is interesting, yeah. That's a good one, actually. Interesting is better. Because they often get in your way when you're battling, especially in the dungeons that are often very narrow.
Yeah.
You find yourself like, and they're like, oh, I'm on your side. And you're like, I was slashing you. Sorry. I mean, I was, you know. One of my fireball things is a huge range effect. It's like 20 feet range effect.
Bloody
so
hell.
I fire it, and it's like, affects everyone.
And your comrade's like, hey, I'm on your side.
And then
like,
they start attacking you.
I know, you're in the way, move.
Never use it against. Never use it when you're fighting and there's a guard helping you.
Yeah, because they'll go. Because
they'll go, stop! And then you've got like 40 bounty, which is nothing. I had a 7,000 bounty on me once, but only because I decided, let's go on a rampage. I went through and killed every single guard in Anfield. where are we?
So anyway, yeah, Radiant AI really could, because it's like remembers things and mm-hmm. they actually have their own problems. They don't just disappear, you know. The people always exist.
You can follow them around and they actually do what they're going to say that they're going to do.
Exactly. But at the same time, there are problems with their...
Conversations are repetitive.
They're also...
I saw a mud crab the other day. Filthy creatures. I'm done talking with you. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Happens a lot. They don't like the mud crabs. I'm going to go through and kill every single mud crab just to stop them from talking.
They'll respawn, though.
Yeah, I know, but... Shut up. You're spoiling the joke.
Sorry.
The combat system is good. It's better than Morrowind. Morrowind was rolling dice when you were hitting things.
Mm. Oblivion really is more... Although it's not a hack and slash.
It's first person slash.
It's like... It's not like as bad as... It's not like as basic as a sand hack and slash. But it hasn't got all the really deep and almost, you know, boring the roll of the dice and everything
exactly.
coming up all the time. You can't be bothered with that in these kind of games. You know, you haven't got time to go
through. Plus the fact it's first person, so... It's really, I think it's really good. You know, if you hit an arrow, it hits.
Yeah.
If you get hit, you have been hit. If you hit them, they have, you know, you've hit them. There's no, oh, you missed randomly for
no reason. Something happened.
Your skill wasn't great enough.
Yeah.
You know? So that's really good. But you can cheat the system by dodging, because you can literally, if someone's casting spells at you, you can dodge every single spell,
yeah.
no worries, and just hit them with arrows or something. So that kind of sucks, but.
But that's real life, I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what
well,
you do in real life.
It'd be kind of hard to dodge. Like, they're just, come on, if you like dodged 50 fireballs, they'd just come at you and like slash you with
a... Oh, for crying out loud. Ah!
Slash you with a bat. But yeah, so lasting appeal. Now, for a single player game, it's probably got the most last ability, maybe.
Other than some games that are continuous.
Animal Crossing and that might have a lot more last ability and that
exactly.
sort of thing.
Things like that, which never end. Seriously never end.
So... Pretty good for a single player RPG. Then it's got the most.
For a single player RPG, it's probably the best one ever, because even if you finish the main story, you never actually start the main story. I mean,
I've put in 60 hours, and I think I've done a tiny bit of the main story.
Exactly,
line, you know, I've done half of it or something like that.
You don't need to do it at all. So.
I'm leader of the Mage Guild. I've only just started the Thieves Guild, and I'm about halfway through the Fighters Guild. And I've put in like 60 hours, and they say like 20 hours for the main quest, and I'm on 60 hours.
Exactly.
Like,
so
you know. I feel that there's I've done whatever, and I feel like there's so much more that I can do. I keep thinking like, oh, I want to go over and do that. I want to go through and do all the Thieves Guild quests. I want to go over and do all the Fighters Guild. I want to go through all the dungeons. I want to do all
well,
the Daedric Shrines.
That was the whole point of the game, wasn't it? That you wouldn't be keeping playing it for a long time.
Exactly. You know, I've only got one house. Well, two houses. But I've got... My main house is in Skingrad, and I've just finished furnishing all of that. I've actually completed the quest now by furnishing the whole thing. But there's like houses in every major city.
Yeah.
I could go through and furnish all of them. You know, wow.
That'd take a while.
You've got to see my house, actually.
I will do.
It's really cool.
After this.
I've got full ebony and full glass and Daedric longswords and all my stuff. It's great.
Very cool. Very, very cool.
So yeah, so it defines last ability, really. single player gaming at its finest.
Yes.
Overall, I give it a 9.6. If it was just on gameplay, I would give it a 10 out of 10 because the gameplay is just... flawless.
Yeah, but there are problems with it.
But the point is that the graphics and the technology behind it is the flawed bit.
Yes.
And, you know, how is it? It's hard to explain. You know, the theory behind it is brilliant and 10 out of 10 for everything.
But because of the current limitations of technology, the current limitations with way gamers interact with games.
And glitches and bugs and
things
and that
like
sort
that.
Of
you know, it just doesn't give it its full potential.
Mm-hmm. They've just, as a side note... Yeah, so did I say that I gave it 9.6?
Yes.
Yeah. As a side note, they've just started OblivionDownloads.com, where you can go and buy horse armor at the moment.
Ooh.
I haven't gone and bought it because lots of people are going, nyeh, 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 and I'm like, well, I'll just wait for these sort of crinky.
Is it any useful, though?
Exactly. Well, yes, it armors your horse, and horses die very easily. If you go into an Oblivion Gate and there is a scamp randomly outside, your horse is screwed.
Got the horse, kill it.
Well, yeah, but only if you've got a good horse, like me, Black Horse.
Exactly.
Hello.
Just or leave your horse away from the gate and just.
Well, yeah, but where? Because if you leave it in the wilderness.
Well, go and park it up somewhere.
Park?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just shove it in a
stable. I parked mine up somewhere once and it died because a troll had been following me the entire, down the, like, half the road. A troll had just been randomly following me and came out and killed everyone.
Oh, good.
And all the guards.
It killed all the guards?
Yes.
Was it really that bad?
I think it was like 3 trolls. I was like, don't mind me, I've got 3 trolls following me, you're gonna go into the gates, bye.
You take care of them. Yeah. Oh dear, you didn't.
Where was I? Oh yeah, so they've released OblivionDownloads.com, but I'm interested in the next two ones, because the next two ones are the Imperial Orrery and the Wizard Tower. The Wizard Tower looks really cool.
Explain.
It's going to be a huge tower, your whole, basically like a whole new house for
right.
you. There's whole new quests behind it with voice acting for all the quests and everything, full voice acted.
Yeah.
There's going to be like a planty area. What's the term for that? Arboretum? Arboretum?
Like a garden.
Garden-y area with like 150 of the plants in Oblivion. There's more than that, but like most of the plants.
So you can plant your own plants?
Well, no, but you can pick up all the plants.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
For alchemy, so you can get like almost all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
There's whole new quest and all that sort of thing. The orrery is the same, whole new quest, build it up, blah, blah, blah. Really good graphics, you know, looking at the stars and stuff.
Lots of extra content, which will keep the game going.
Some people are going, Bethesda should be working on, you know, patching the game rather than working on, you know, you're making us pay money for add-ons for a broken game, blah de blah. But someone had a quote, it was very similar to, if a Bethesda developer went into a burning building to save a child, everyone would ask, why didn't you save the whole family?
Yeah.
That's the sort of thing that the community seems to be thinking. Like, there's 100 people, it's their job, they try their hardest, they've given us a brilliant game, and all you can fuss about is like, oh no, $1.99 for a download that's not, you know, it's like £1.
Yeah.
£1.
Exactly.
For a horse arm. What is it? You are so tight that you can't pay £1.
I remember Tim on CAD, he said something about it as well. He said, like, you don't go into a restaurant expecting, you know, you don't go into a restaurant, buy a main meal, and expect to get the dessert
exactly
as part of the meal, unless it specifically states it.
Mm.
Horse armor wasn't in the original game, and it's extra content.
Yeah. And they're saying, you don't need it to complete the game.
Exactly. So they're like, well, why didn't we get it in the original, you know, when the game was released anyway? Well, like, you don't
because
get.
Because we want to make money from extra bits.
It's a business, exactly. You know, so.
They're not out to screw us over, they're out to make money. And. But they've, in return, they've given us some brilliant content.
They're
a
good
game.
Company. I think they're a good gaming development company. I mean, like, there's only a few companies out there who really care about the community. One being Valve.
And they give loads of interviews as well.
And one, you know, Professor, I mean, I remember you saying you were ranting on MSN, and I was actually paying attention for once. So.
Wow. Oh my God.
When you go on your rants on MSN, I do tend to just go, ha, lol, or KK. sorry.
Good. But you're there for.
You're saying something about this guy in Oblivion who's like a random talker. He's a liar or something.
Oh yeah, and he's like a liar,
and he's like mentioning things about the community.
Yeah,
you know,
taking the piss out of the
on
community.
Taking the piss out of the forums. And
yeah,
taking
it's
the piss
like
out of stuff.
My eek likes that people are clothed. You want to see people naked? Bad people, very bad people. And
something,
then
about,
runs
and
off.
Something about fish sticks as well, and
that sort of thing,
which is all community based. And so the community are moaning at Bethesda simply because they didn't include horse arm, but yet they've gone to the trouble of including community specific
things,
content,
like, yeah,
the game.
Exactly.
What are you moaning about?
Exactly. So it's a very good game. Go out and buy the damn game.
Yeah.
If you've got an Xbox 360, why haven't you bought it already?
Yeah.
If you haven't got a good enough PC, then upgrade your PC and go and get it.
Well, yeah, but look at me.
Yeah, but
I want the game.
Exactly.
I can't afford to upgrade my PC.
You know, if you don't want this game, you should want this game.
Yeah,
that's
I see what you're saying. Yeah. I want it, but I can't have it.
Exactly. So it's really cool.
It's a very cool game, and I really would like to be able to play it myself, but I can't. So.
Well, you play a bit on mine, so.
I know, but it's not the point. It's not the same, you know. I can't.
You can have the save. If you buy Oblivion, you can have the save file.
Yeah, exactly. So. Well, we didn't get very far. I'm at level 2.
Well, still, it's all good. So, yeah, so 9.6 at the moment.
It's a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and get it.
Word. It's game of the year, but definitely going to be game of the year.
Even already in its only.
It's already game of the month.
That's easy.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. It's like, it's easily going to be.
But then again, will something like Twilight Princess beat it?
Nope.
Twilight Princess, dude, it's been like developed for like 3 years now.
Nope.
Yeah,
we are kind of running short on time, considering we're doing pretty badly on like Elder Scrolls Oblivion First Review being huge. So we'll probably miss the programming talk, the tech section bit.
We're going to have a big programming talk that you were going to go do for us, but we'll probably do that next episode.
Okay, so next episode, no.
So unfortunately, people, I mean, I feel kind of bad for all the people listening for the tech section.
Like, we got the anime section.
We
and gaming
never
and there's no tech.
Do any of the tech, so we're probably not going
to
do any.
There'll be
tech
a bit in the
show.
Extras, so go and listen to a bit.
So we're going to have some tech in the extras, but next show we promise.
Yep, definitely.
We actually promise we will do a nice big tech section for you.
Yep.
So
let's go.
Anyway, moving further on to the gaming section. Mm-hmm. I'll just want to mention a game I bought. I was up the city with Yamara. In fact, it was a month ago when we went up the city with Yamara after we'd done the show. Mm-hmm. We went to Wagamama's, the noodle restaurant. And when we were up there, I noticed...
Was it good?
What?
The thingy restaurant.
Wagamama's?
Yeah.
It's delicious. Of course it was.
Good,
amazing.
I just felt like, you know, interacting there.
Oh, it's all right. Yeah.
You know. Yeah, good.
No, it's Wagamama's is really, really nice.
Cool.
I'm sure they have them in America, but like... it's delicious stuff, and considering we're into all the Japanese stuff as well. Mm-hmm. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
But when we were up there, I went into HMV just to like look at the anime section as usual, laugh at the prices.
Really? Of course, HMV is like really expensive.
18 quid for 4 episodes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And we noticed the DS section, and I didn't realize it, but Monkey Ball had just been released.
Cool.
So I was like, oh, Monkey Ball.
Cool.
I have some money.
Money burning hole in pocket.
So I just randomly went out and bought it on a whim. I mean, I didn't intend on buying it, to be honest. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love the GameCube game. It's so fun. Monkey Target's hilarious.
It's great.
Yeah, exactly. But I bought it and I thought, okay, I'll buy it. It's not all it cracks up to be.
Mm-hmm.
It really is just the GameCube version on the DS.
Mm-hmm.
Lower graphics, obviously.
Yep.
The whole idea is that you're supposed to use the stylus. Right. I don't use the stylus, I use the D-pad.
Fair enough.
All the levels are the same. Some of the levels are a bit difficult to use because of the D-pad.
Mm.
The
levels are the same?
Pretty much. Oh, there's no new levels.
So it's just GameCube on the DS, then?
It's just a port.
Mm.
All the mini-games are really not very good. I mean, you got Monkey Hockey. That's quite cool.
Right.
No Monkey Target, so...
I know. No!
Best thing about the game, Monkey Target, is gone. It's got Monkey Shooter, a first person shooter
in a ball.
Yeah, you roll around this like little...
How do you shoot through a ball?
I don't know. Dude, it's monkeys in balls. That's
artistic license.
It it's like you roll around this like arena.
Yeah,
and you've got to use the D-pad to move forward and backwards. You've got to use the stylus to move direction, and you've got to tap the screen to fire. It's like the most awkward system in the world.
Okay.
It's like what Metroid Hunters are going to be like. I'm not buying that game, by the
way. You're not?
No.
Why not?
It was crap.
It looked good to me.
The
multiplayer looked really cool.
Well, the demo we played like when we got the DS was crap.
Awesome.
I hated it.
Awesome. Just because you couldn't do it.
I could do it.
You couldn't. Can't handle the controls. I thought the controls were really good.
I did it. I just didn't like it.
I thought it was a really great way to do it. Really great way to do the first person.
Mm.
I'm getting that. Oh, yeah. Oh,
I'll skip.
Metroid Prime Hunters.
No.
Multiplayer is going to be awesome.
Anyway, back to Monkey Ball, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
Monkey Ball, it's good. If you never picked up the GameCube version and you want to try out Monkey Ball, the core of Monkey Ball, go get it. Mm. It's a good game. It's like £20-25. So that's what, like $40.
But much less than an Xbox game.
Exactly. It's much less than the GameCube or the Xbox game, which is throughout. And it's a good way to just experience Monkey Ball.
Cool.
But if you've already played Monkey Ball,
don't go out and buy it.
And you're expecting some of the goodness of the original Monkey Balls, don't go and buy it. It's a waste of my money.
Alrighty then.
Last little gaming thing.
Yes, that's me. The Rise of Legends demo has been released. Rise of Nations, Rise of Legends. Produced by, is it Big Huge Games again?
Big Huge Games.
It is still them.
Well, they made it.
Yeah,
I don't know
who
developed the publisher.
Well, that's Microsoft.
Yeah, it's Microsoft game.
It is. Very cool. Very, very cool. They've still got a hell of a lot to polish. I read a preview of like where they've got the later version, like where they've nearly finished development.
Yeah.
And they said that they fixed a lot of the things that were problems in Rise of Legends. Most notably, the sound was screwed in the demo for me.
Mm.
I had no music. The music was like really quiet in my rear headphones.
Strange.
I guess surround sound maybe again. Like they
have a problem.
Probably coded it. But the way it played was really nice, but it definitely, you know, the cinematic trailers show some pretty awesome stuff, and you couldn't get to see that, obviously, because they've missed things, because they don't want to give everything out in the demo.
Yeah, it's just a way of saying to the community,
this is what it looks like.
Here's what we've got so far, have a go.
Yeah, but you can definitely, I think they've tried to take ideas from StarCraft in that the two civs are completely different. I mean, there's going to be three or four.
Four?
I think there's going to be four civs.
Yeah.
They are completely different, the way that they operate.
Yes,
like
good.
The magical Allen have like sand circles that they build units from and towers that they get their research and defense from.
Yeah.
And then the Vinci build the normal sort of barracks and that sort of thing for them. Yeah. So really cool. The way that the cities work are interesting. They've taken the ideas from Rise of Nations, but the cities are fixed, aka something that has fixed cities. What has fixed cities?
There's a game. You mean you actually can't build cities wherever you want?
You can only build cities on settlements. What game has that?
That was right as Age of Mythology.
Age of Mythology, that's the one.
Age of Mythology, you can only build new settlements on areas.
They've taken that idea. You can only build them on certain places, and you have to have. They cost a lot of gold until your caravans have been there to trade with them a lot, and then it's cheaper. And yeah. Eventually, you actually automatically acquire them once you've, like, caravan with them for the entire game.
So if you want to, like, build a city straight away at the beginning of the game,
it costs you like 1,000 gold. You can't do it.
And then later on, the caravans and trading with them.
But I can sense there's going to be a lot of room for, like, hardcore strategies, like, you know, in Age of Empires 2, you had the feudal rush and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of that where they're going to have, there's going to be some core strategies for it, and there's going to be some diehard, like, you know, if you do this exactly right, split second right, you will get a second city at this point and you will have this stuff. And
the whole idea of what, you know, you see in, like, pure and all that, you know, strats and all
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Without doing, I can see that there's going to be a lot of opportunity for that, because there's a lot of different ways of doing it. Like, you can build districts in different places and all this sort of thing.
So, yeah.
Very cool. I will be very interested to see how it turns out.
But I haven't played it, but I watched you and Daz play it. Mm-hmm. Looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
So
I wouldn't be surprised if it gets low reviews, because even though it looks a good game, there are some flaws, and I think it will be too slow-paced, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Okay, so that was Rise of Legends. It's a good game. Go and check it out.
Good demo.
Download the demo.
You might have to struggle to find it, because when it first was released, you couldn't find it anywhere. Like, all the servers were full.
It's like everybody was downloading it, though.
But it should have come down now. Maybe you can find it on a torrent somewhere. Probably. Like the demo torrent.
And that about wraps up the show. I mean, sorry for no tech, but we didn't realise how long the
Elder Scrolls have been
the anime and the gaming was going to last. We promise we'll do the tech section next time.
Maybe next time we should actually start with the tech section before we do anything
else.
Yeah,
that's the point. Because I think that's why tech section always suffers, because it's the last.
So maybe next time we'll actually go, right, we're going to start with some, after we've done housekeeping and life, we'll go tech. Straight
Here's
in
the tech, and then we'll do the gaming, then afterwards. We'll do the anime or whatever.
Okay. So, we got some plugs and shouts?
Yeah, we got some plugs and shouts this week. Like last week we hadn't done.
Yes.
Oh, last month, rather.
Yeah, I was going to say, last month. Some shouts, obviously, to people at the people who were at the LAN again. That's MixWizard, Pro, and Dazarus.
And, of course, both of us. So
yeah, ourselves.
Plugs to you, Gelada.
And plugs to you, Sephram.
And, of course, plugs to your parents.
Yes, plugs to my parents.
Because
for...
they let us have it in their living room.
Yes, indeed. So it was all good.
It was very good. It was very good, LAN. It all worked out well. So plugs to them. Plugs to everyone who took part.
And here's for the Life in Hex LAN OX03 in the summer.
Yes, we'll organise that sooner, closer to time.
We will. We need to all, like, synchronise dates about if we're all going away and stuff.
Shout some plugs. We've done it the wrong way around, haven't we? We said plugs to...
Never mind.
Shout to these websites. Shouts to a website I found called iguk.co.uk. It's a gaming, like a tabletop gaming website. They sell things like board games, card games, etc.
Information as well, like about the stuff and that sort of thing?
There's information on there as well. There's reviews on there if you want to find out about some of the stuff. Because, I mean, I bought some cards. You see, I started playing Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Yep.
Bought some stuff there. Really cheap. They're a UK store.
Which is good.
Which is good for us, obviously. And they accept PayPal. So I was like,
really?
Result.
Excellent.
So
good all round there.
It's a good store. Very good store. And they're really nice. They're really friendly. Because, like, I ordered something and then it went out of stock like 5 minutes after I ordered it. So they're like, well, sorry, we can't do it. But what we'll do is we'll look around. We'll find another supplier. And they found a supplier for me like a week later and said, we'll send it for free first class mail just say sorry.
That's so cool. Excellent. Value their customers.
I think it's quite a small company. But because of that, they can, like, take value in their customers and everything. So good site. Go and check it out.
I'd like to give a plug or shout, to delete as appropriate, to hack5.org. That's H-A-K-5, the number 5.org. It's a really good vidcast. Lots of cool hacks and techie stuff. More techie stuff than us.
Yeah.
You know, they do some really... Like you saw about the transmitting music over lasers.
That was
very, very cool. Across the room without cables and stuff. Just, you know, to come up, and they didn't come up with it, it's on the web, but to actually do it and to demonstrate it and to go, this is how you do it, here's all the
stuff.
It's
a very cool vidcast, yeah. Very cool vidcast.
Also, they've just, like, gone, let's do some more interacting with the community. And they've got their own IRC server. They've got a game server, which is a private game server. I'm not going to give away the details about it. You have to actually go on there, go on the IRC channel, ask someone for it and stuff. And there's also a Ventrilo server as well. You know, they're really going, let's talk to the community a lot, which is really good.
Let's be part of the community, yes.
I was on the Counter-Strike Source game, and it was really cool just to think, like, I'm playing with the hosts of the people that I watch on the vidcast, and they're just talking to all of us, and we're talking to them. That just felt really cool.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know,
it proves the fact that just because they're doing quite a popular vidcast doesn't mean that they can't, like, be part of the
community. And they just want to have fun. Exactly. They're probably going to have a Hack 5 LAN, which, like, we have a Life in Hex LAN.
Yeah, exactly.
Only theirs will be public. They will actually have people.
Bigger.
Yeah, because theirs is in America and stuff. So,
ours is five people.
Yes, hello. Our fans.
Those three people who listen.
Yep.
Last little plug, it's similar to my first plug. It's to a website called trollandtoad.com. It's a much bigger website. It's, again, it's another card trading website. Okay, been a right show. And don't forget to check out the extras.
Yes, definitely go out and go on the website now if you want to listen to us rambling a bit more, and check out the extras.
Like we said, though, the extras is going to be more laid back. It's not going to be a really official, not official, professional.
We're going to do it a bit later. We're not going to start now.
We're going to get some comfy chairs in here.
Yeah, we might actually get some.
Maybe get some nice chairs to sit in, because I'm sick and in this thing.
Stand up.
And you and that must be so painful.
That's probably, quite good, actually.
That's probably more comfortable.
It's actually quite good.
So, anyway. Yes.
It's all stand up.
Check out the extras. This is actually okay. Standing up is actually all right.
Yeah, but for an hour?
Yeah, it's true. Right.
Yep, so go and check out the extras. We're going to go and do some gaming.
We're going to have some gaming.
For the people who don't check out the extras, we'll see you in 2 weeks' time.
2 weeks' time, and we promise we'll bring you a tech section.
Yes.
And happy Easter.
Happy Easter, yes. Easter. It will be beyond Easter for them, so we hope you had a good Easter.
That's what I'm saying. Have a good Easter.
Yes.
I get it. When they hear this podcast, it'll already be an Easter, because doing it like...
Hope you had a good Easter.
Yes, hope you had a nice Easter.
I'm Gelada.
And I'm Sephron.
And that has been...
Life in Hex, episode 12.
For some reason, I wanted to say Hack 5.
Hack 5? Wow. We've elevated to that level already.
We have. Bloody hell. This has been Life in Hex, episode
12.
This could be episode 13.
13, but it's 12 because we missed an episode, so... Bye. Let her off.
Yes, sorry.
I am talking to you, Gelada.
Sorry. Yes, I'm just looking at these lights. Great.
It's anime review time. I can't get my voice.
It's time.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. So, anime review time.
Yes. Well, I'm going to review.
Myself, when I'm editing, if you're listening, Gelada, listen to what I'm saying now. You need to move this music bit back to the anime. Good.
Rah.
Hello, Gelada.
Killing them.
Yeah.
Baby, it's your baby.
I'm four.